Dobrý den, perfektní. Už mi pomoct nějakou.
Novým hosťák.
Novým hosťák, tak se to užijte.
Jasně, já nepřijdu.
Dobrý.
Za hodinu pojede vlak, jo. Za 30 minut pro tebe přijdu a půjdeme nahoru a budeme pouštět šoupátka, jo. Položíme most. No, mostem položíme most, jo.
Jo.
30 minut sedět, nikam neběhat. Jasný?
Jasný.
Tak jo.
Tak čau.
Jo, jasně. Už ho vidím, ten tvůj samovar. Jo? Ahoj.
Laďo! Laďo! Laďo!
si vezmeme horkou čokoládu.
Určitě na něco přijdu. Jasně. Nové město.
nová práce. Noví lidi. Nová duše.
The perspective of joy comes from where you find yourself sitting in the story. The point is that this movie was made to share the gospel with people who didn't understand the full weight of the gospel. The full weight of the gospel is that we were the people on the train. We were the undeserving, unknowing people on this path on the rails to destruction. And a father, a heavenly father, laid down the life of his son so that those people could live. This is a small picture of the gospel. This morning it's Easter Sunday, and we celebrate with joy that it's Easter. But I have found that in over my years of preaching and being a believer is that I can waste Easter making it a very small thing about me and my religion. I can waste Easter making it a thing, not that I don't enjoy hanging out with my family. We'll go hunt for pagan eggs in the grass, whatever we're doing. We're doing that this afternoon. I hope my kids score big because I'm going to steal from every single one of them. But it is a waste if I don't remember that this day, when we celebrate the risen king in the tomb, he is not there. He is standing outside and he says Mary's name. And from the second he says Mary's name, her world is just blown apart. And that is us. And it came with a heavy, heavy, heavy price. And the perspective of this morning is two things. One, if you're not a believer, and I don't mean just a believer. A lot of people are believers. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ and haven't given yourself to him, you really need to understand the weight of what Easter is. And maybe today God has you here for that very reason, because you need to understand and feel the full grasp of what it is. The Son of God, God himself, came to earth, manifested himself in the body of man, and was brutally destroyed because he loved you. And not only that, but he went to death and he raised in life. And when he did that, he defeated the thralls of death, Satan, and all of his minions, and the enemy forever, for anybody who would call upon his name. And the cracky thing is he makes it optional. And then if you're here today, you need to know, no matter what kind of flight plan you're on or where you think you're going, you need Jesus Christ more than you ever knew. For those the rest of us that are believers, any believer who does not continually baptize himself in the suffering and the victory of Jesus Christ will lose their perspective. Everybody hear what I'm saying? If you don't keep going back to Easter, it's the very reason why we do communion. Jesus said in the upper room the night he was betrayed, he says, take this bread, take this cup, drink it in remembrance of me every time you meet together and remember what I did until the day that I come. That he wants us to remember. Well, that seems kind of sick, doesn't it? He wants us to remember brokenness and pain. Yes! We remember brokenness and pain that we should have paid, but we avoid it only because of the grace of God. Now my life is free. But not for a second did I do a single thing to become a better man. Nothing. I couldn't do it on my own. Matter of fact, when the day I gave my life to the Lord, I was as scuzzy as I'd ever been. I didn't do anything. I didn't clean up well. Matter of fact, coming to faith means stop trying to clean up so well and give him yourself. He cleans you from the inside out. Amen? So, well, for a believer, today is a catalyst for you to remember, beloved, of what your Father did for you. Amen? That movie is called Most, which in Czech, which is the ancestry of my entire family on my mom's side. It means the bridge. And today, being that today Easter is our everything, by the way, this is my favorite day of the year because it's just so thick with meaning and praise for us. Amen? But my story this morning is that we needed a bridge. Amen? And this bridge was purposeful and necessary and only fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what is a bridge? Webster's, which, whatever, God bless him. Webster says a bridge is a structure carrying a road, a path, a railroad, a canal, across a river, ravine, road, railroad, or other obstacle. What was our obstacle? Our obstacle was sin. Scripture says in Romans 3, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. High five your neighbor and say, all of us. That's really a weird thing to high five each other about. I'm glad you're so obedient. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen? From Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we have this problem. My sin equal death. Before Jesus came, God created the law, which people were supposed to keep up and keep the law going to atone for their sin over and 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 over again. And they had ritual after ritual after ritual. Well, Jesus came as the bridge to gap that thing. Amen? This is what we're talking about this morning. And here's the deal. People for generations and generations and generations have tried to bridge the gap themselves. Amen? How many of you have tried to bridge the gap between you and the Lord? 5 of you. Great. I'm sitting in the holiest room I've ever encountered in my life. I'll just let you all get up here. Proverbs 14 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Self-help sounds good, right? Oh, yeah, think smarter and harder and take care of this and that. And really, every time you say a curse word, pinch yourself in the bottom. Those are really good things, amen? And so there are really good things. There's some really tender people in the world trying to do good. Matter of fact, some of them make the church look ridiculous because they do more good than we do. Hear what I'm saying? But Scripture says, it sounds good to us, but the problem is, in the end, it all leads to death. Death. Because why? Because there's no goodness you can be to jump the chasm of sin between you and God. And so we were with him in the garden. He created us. Sin came with Adam and Eve. Darn those dastardly sinners. How could they? And then all of a sudden, right? And then all of a sudden, there was this huge chasm because God, here's the deal. God is pure. God is justice. God can't have anything to do with sin. He's separated from it. So the minute we became of sin, the minute there become a chasm between us, and we are standing on this side, and Jesus, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, God himself, are standing on that side. There's no way we can bridge this gap. It's too far. It's too far. And people have been trying for years and years and years and years to bridge the gap.
Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so they would not hear. Here's the good news. There's a bridge, but there's only one bridge. Jesus clearly said, and I love this, I can't believe in America, statistics are crazy, but talked about this before, 60 to 70% of evangelical Christians believe that there's more than one way to God. Except Jesus says in John 14, I'm the only way, I'm the only truth, I'm the only life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. Mankind has been trying, whether they know it or not, trying to be better people, trying to do better things, have been trying to get to this ultimate thing that everybody's searching for, by the way, this emptiness that's in your heart. It's not the next sexual relationship. It's not the next drug. It's not the next thing to fulfill your heart on getting stuff and buying more things and having the perfect house. The thing that your heart is longing for, even though you don't know it and they don't know it, is him. Because he is the creator. He's the one who knit them together in their mother's womb. He knew every hair on their head and every hair on your head. And he knows what you were created for. You will never find fulfillment until you find what you were created for. And that is to glorify Jesus Christ. Glorify the Lord. Amen? 1 Timothy 2 says, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Again, the crux of the matter is God created us to have free will. Now, if I was God, this is a fun topic, right? If I was God for a minute, let's all pretend. Let's not pretend. But in my human form, I would just make everybody do what I say. Anybody else agree with me? I would just make you sinful little snot bags. I created you. And I don't parent like that way all the time, right? Is that this, though, but... what was I talking about? I'm just kidding. Sinful little snotbags. I remember. I just want to know how to soak in that for a minute. But here's the thing is that God gave us free will. This is the utmost crazy thing that I've ever thought about in my life, is that I have the opportunity to receive grace from an eternity without God. I have an opportunity. It's not mandated. And so this morning, as we come together and celebrate this Easter, I want to talk about a few things in this whole paradigm. The bridge was not free. You understand what I'm saying? And Jesus, when he goes the night before he's betrayed, Jesus goes to the garden, Gethsemane, and he's praying. And when Jesus is in there, he asked the Lord this weird thing. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Jesus is praying so hard that he has blood coming from him. He says, take this cup from me. What is the cup? Is the cup, Lord, I'm afraid of these Romans. They're coming to kill me. I'm going to lose my life. Do you really think the God of heaven and all creation was really afraid of being dead on a cross because some Romans and Jewish leaders that he created scared him? No. What was he pondering in his heart? Isn't this the greatest Easter message ever? It's the wrath of God. All throughout Scripture, this cup is symbolism, this chalice in the Hebrew and in the Greek. It talks about this chalice of God's wrath, this suffering that's coming. Last night I was just hit with this thing, and I think I put it on Facebook, but I was just blown away and bawling in my office. The scariest thing in the universe isn't the physical death or the devil, it's the wrath of God. The most heartbreaking thing in this universe is that anyone should receive this wrath, because they wouldn't receive the free gift of freedom and grace from this wrath by making Jesus Lord of their life. He is risen. The price has been paid. The door is open. But Jesus in the garden is contemplating this wrath, and he asked the Lord to take it from him. And then he says at the end of that text, though, yet not my will, but yours. So he says, hey, he understands the way. He's God. He knew from the beginning of time when God talked about in Genesis 3 that there was going to be this Savior that would come and crush the head of the serpent in 3:15 in Genesis, that his was going to be his moment when he stepped down out of heaven onto this earth and he would become the sacrificial lamb for everybody that would call upon his name. God's wrath is talked about a lot in Revelation chapter 14. Another angel and a third followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They will have no rest, day or night. These worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. God is going to pour out his wrath on mankind. That is not a seeker-sensitive, friendly message on Easter. Guess what? Wrath is coming! Some people only hold on to that angle, though. The problem is that they hold on, and God is an angry God, and God is just a big jerk in the sky, because God's going to come and push down his wrath on everybody, because he wants justice. The whole point about that is that would be true, possibly, because he is a God of all justice. There has to be complete answering for what has happened. If he wasn't a true God of justice, there wouldn't need to be atonement permanently. But he's a true God of justice. There has to be an answer for the problem. The good thing is that the answer to the problem was himself, his son, crucified on the cross for God's people, you and me. And why? Because he loved us. And so Easter is not, yay, Jesus is risen. True. The answer is, God's wrath was mine. And when I receive the free gift of Jesus Christ, I am saved forever. Amen? You see the weight of how holidays change? And I know people think I'm such a big jerk when it comes to holidays. And maybe I am. I don't like the SC guy at the wintertime part. I can stay clear, the big jolly. And you'll never find a bunny in my house unless my daughter's using it as a chew toy or the dog or anything like that. And we celebrate things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here in this church, we're not going to. Just for the simple fact is that this, we have to keep the main thing always. There's nothing wrong with doing your stuff with your family and stuff, but for the love of God, literally, is it the first thing that you're seeing when you wake up Easter morning? Did your heart break this morning? Did you get up and say, thank you, God? Grace, thank you that my Savior took my sin on the cross and I am no longer a mark. I'm clean. I'm spotless. I'm done. I got to wait a little bit longer. I got to go through sufferings and trials. I need to glorify him on this earth, but I'm done. And did your kids wake up this morning knowing that that is the very reason that we celebrate this day? Did you? Did they? Did I? And so that is the full weight of why a psychopath like me would show a depressing movie on Easter. Amen. Isaiah 53:10, this is just so mind-boggling. 700 years before the death of Christ and the life of Christ, Isaiah, the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says it was the Lord's good plan to crush him in grief. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? And here's one thing I wrestle with in this. For myself, on days, believers, when I start to get so insular that I continue to look at myself and worry about my issues and my problems, which my problems are real, right? We all face very real, nasty stuff. And that's normal. But the days where I get defeated is when I don't wash this over my problems. Amen? Think about it for a minute. All the heaviness of what we just talked about. Grace, eternity long. Love, eternity long. Unchanging, unfazing, unstopping. Yours. Having trouble with my mortgage. you're a believer, there's hope in every single thing we go through. Amen? Because there's a promise from the living God. Everybody say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, Happy Easter. Tell him you look nice. That's a little too much telling him to look nice. 1 John 4, 9 through 10 said, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we would have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so no one can boast about it. And here's the trippy part for us. Is that Revelation 3:20 says, the Lord says this, here I am, I stand in the door and knock, and if you would come and open in the door, I would come and sit and eat with you and be with you. So all of a sudden, we're separated from God. Chasm, sin. Out of his great love, Christ on earth, on the cross lays over as Jesus is written, and there is a bridge now between me and being over here. The fantastic thing is twofold. Number one, people who have not yet surrendered your life to the Lord, you need to get to the other side. And you don't even have to walk. He will carry you. Amen? He will carry you. It's not just a one-time prayer in a service like this where 20 people raise their hand, but it is a commitment of your life to say, I am yours, you are mine. Make me into the man or woman you want me to be. And he starts to carry you. And for those of us who are over here that have sat down on the cushion and couch of faith, get up! Amen? There was blood on that path he carried us across over here. And now we have purpose, amen? Now we have God's glory, amen? We have God's power. Easter is that day for us to remember. You need to be coming home, or you need to be getting off your tush. Amen? Don't turn to your neighbor and say, get off your tush. I said, don't. Here's just a few promises that we live in today, and then we're going to baptize some folk. Going to rip through these, and this should do your heart good on such a somber. Isn't it the weirdest thing to be a believer to be so somber and happy? Like, I totally get that movie, and I weep every time I see it, and every time I think about God's sacrifice, and then at the end of it, I smile. Amen. That is all Christians should look like lunatics. Amen. I'm kidding. Some of y'all look grumpy all the time, and you need to pull your spiritual head out. Seriously. Amen. You need to receive this grace. But a believer's life is, oh, my sin. Ah. And then it's, oh, yeah. I'm free. Amen. Let's all try that. Ty's always faithful. There you go. Imagine, let me just say this tenderly, and this is convicting for me. Imagine that everyone in your house saw you that way every day. And imagine if everyone you work with saw you that way every day. Imagine everyone that hates you and you hate sees you like that every day. What would happen? What would happen? Not that you hate anybody. Here are just a few sweet things of our promises that come from Easter. This bridge finally made us right with God. Colossians 1, 19 through 22. For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You who were once far away from God. Amen? You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless, and you stand before him without a single fault. No matter how convicted or jerky or short you feel, no matter how your parents were or were not, the Lord says in him you stand before him. No other earthly judge, not a person on this earth can judge your spirit. And then God sits there and he sees you without a fault. He sees you clean. Somebody should say amen. Number two, the bridge finished sin and his powerful hand for us. Amen? Romans 6, 6 through 12 is that we know our own sinful selves were crucified with Christ. By the way, do you know that your old sinful self was crucified with Christ? So that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free with from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we now will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. That's it. God spoke a good game, right? All the way up until the cross. Imagine if Jesus doesn't be resurrected. He doesn't come back. What happens? Boom, we're done. 500 people saw him for 40 days. A resurrected God. Thomas stuck his fingers in his hands. People ate fish with him. He cooked them breakfast. Imagine what that kind of breakfast was good. You think that IHOP's good in the morning? Woo! Copper oven ain't got nothing on Jesus' breakfast, right? Can I get a little more salt? Oh, never mind. I'm not even going to ask. He knows how to treat his fish. You know what I'm saying? When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin, alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let your sin control the way you live. Do not give in to your sinful desires. Does this say that he defeated our temptation? Did he say that this defeats the opportunity to sin or struggle? No, he says it lost the power. We don't have to be sinners. We don't have to, and I'm talking about in way we live. There's a way out. The Holy Spirit says he gives us a way out of every situation. Amen? And this is beautiful. 1 Timothy, Paul says this. This is talking about himself. This is a trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Now, I know some of you walk in here, and you think that you are the worst sinner. You have no idea what I did 20 years ago. And I don't care if you've murdered somebody or you're an addict. No matter what you are, if just a horrible, horrible soccer mom with an evil thing in the closet, whatever it is, whatever you are, you're not going to trump Paul. Paul helped chase and find and persecute and murder believers. Matter of fact, while they were stoning Stephen, the first martyr in the New Testament, they were stoning him, and Stephen's face shined because God's glory was upon him. And he even said, "Forgive them, Father, and they know not what they do." Paul was holding their coats and watching them. He was tracking him like a wolf. And Paul was that man. And I am the worst of them all. And he said, "But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." The point is that nobody is too far. Everybody can go on to keep trying to save people that look like them, smell like them, talk like them, walk like them, and live like them. Fine. But this is why our heart is for the broken. We're not just a community church right here on this corner. We are for the whole city of Wichita, the United States, and the nations, because we believe that we should walk with a quicker step up to any hooker or pimp or dealer or whatever it is in the middle of the street, worthless whatever people gangbanging, no matter what it is, we can step with them into dangerous places with this knowledge that God came to save the worst of sinners. And so, by the way, are all of us sinners? If you think you're not one of the worst of sinners, you just have a perspective problem. But you get what we're talking about. This is the way it's fleshed out. Amen? And so this is why we're bold. We want to see how many people of you in here were nasty folk before you came to know Jesus? More of you should raise your hands. I know you. By the way, did you catch our testimony service last weekend? Woo! Hallelujah. Couple more things. The bridge completely finished death and gave me eternal life. I talk about this a lot because I've seen a lot of death. Talk about this a lot because I buried my father-in-law this year, one of my best friends this last year. To be honest, I hate this place. I can't stand it. I live here. There are beautiful things about the earth and God's creation. I love to see people's faces, and I love to see babies, and I love to see the mountains, and I'm just in awe and majesty when I stand on the Pacific Ocean and I just look out on the power of the waves, and I'm in awe when I see Northern Lights, and I'm in awe when I see people doing good things to help other people, but those things, honestly, in this life, the good things don't trump the other stuff that I see in my head. I'm just geared that way. I just see murder, and I see brokenness, and I see fatherlessness, and I see all this stuff over and over and over again, and I can't wait to be free of this stupid body and this dying world. And Scripture says that I am free. That death, even though I'm a crazy, weirdo, freak out about every kind of sickness kind of guy that I battle anxiety in my head, I know that in my heart of hearts that when I take my last breath, it will just be a second before I see the Lord. Amen? Happy Easter, you're eternal. Jesus rose as a believer, you rose in eternal life. Will this nasty thing die? Holler. And then the Scripture says, then the perishable will put on the imperishable. Although I look pretty good today, you know what I'm saying? Don't clap for that. It'll go to my head and I'll start dressing like this all the time. It's very sweaty. 1 Corinthians 15 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Physical death now in Christ is just like this compared to eternity that you get. Michael, you and I will be together in 2,000 years from now, not even remembering our broken bodies and hurt, lost babies. Never. Free. And I want to choose temporal things of this world to fill my heart over that? No way. No way. The bridge did another cool thing. It destroyed loneliness. How many of you have ever battled loneliness before? How many of you live in houses full of people when you battle loneliness? Anyone? Amen? Two ways that God defeated loneliness, and this is good for us, for people who minister in the city and the broken, and for anybody and everybody, is that he defeated this two ways. In Deuteronomy 31, it says, the Lord goes before you, and He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear the Lord, or be dismayed. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And that came in two ways. One way is that as a believer, and this is a repetitive topic around here, is that number one, I'm not alone because I have the Holy Spirit of God. Scripture says that God ascended into heaven, and then God descended into His men and women, His sons and daughters through His Holy Spirit. So now, I am literally a walking, talking temple of the Holy Spirit. God was right. He never will leave me nor forsake me, because where I go, God is there. And so if we lose our building someday and six of us meet out in the parking lot in the cold, God is still there. Amen? This isn't our holy sanctuary. You're the holy sanctuary. He is with you always. If you receive Christ, Scriptures say Holy Spirit comes in you. God is with you. Number two, He is with us in the body of Christ. It says in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians is that, and this is why you need to be a part of a church for those of you who are just waving in and out for Easter. You are supposed to be in the body of Christ. Scripture said He has gifted us all. He has given us special abilities. And we are made to be together, so we function together in a body. I don't like preachers. Neither do I. They're sinners in church. Duh. Hypocrites. Right. But family. That love each other. And I know there's some sick places, but there are a lot of good places too that love you and love the Lord and want to be your family. Won't you trust the Lord a little bit and open yourself to be loved on, to be held accountable. God help us. Amen? I love you, by the way. My last point. I'm going to baptize. And this is just a few things that just were eating me alive last night. Just I was giggling in my office. I wonder what my wife thinks, because my ductwork, my office is right below our bedroom. And sometimes I'll get into my crybaby worship babbling mode, and I always hear my wife go, dong, dong, dong. But here's a cool thing, and we'll stop. No, she'd never done that. Here's a cool thing that this bridge gave me as God carried me to the other side. Number one is it just changed my scars. It just changed my scars. I used to have so many boo-hoo, wah-wah stories about how life sucked and how mean people were to me, and some of them are very vivid and real. But when I got them underneath the cross, Jesus had scars. Listen, his resurrected body that he showed to the apostles had scars. They had scars. So they could see where he had been and what he had done. Fully, completely resurrected body still had scars in his hands, in his side, in his feet. Thomas touched it. Why? Because scars underneath the power of Christ take on something new. If you are walking with him by the Spirit, no matter how sucky your life has been, through the Holy Spirit, God uses all things for the good of those who love him, who are called by his name. You go through a nasty divorce, God's going to use that. Trent, say amen. Amen. You go through losing a baby, God uses it for his glory. Somebody say amen. You go through people viciously betraying you and backstabbing you all of your life, possibly even including your own parents, God can use that for his glory. Somebody say amen. He changed my scars. He changed my suffering. He changed my fear. I'm a worry wart. I worry about everything. I remember being 7 years old and deathly afraid of nuclear disaster in Southern California. That video came out in the 80s. How many of you remember that, of the nuclear holocaust? And everybody was tripping, and they were spraying malathion in my neighborhood, and we had the Night Stalker. Richard Ramirez was killing people a mile away from my house. Ah! That was in my mind all the time. Earthquakes. California is not a good place to be for a young man with issues. Amen. And last but not least, to say he... On the other side of the bridge, I was Rob Danz. I had this kind of heritage. I had this kind of family. I had this kind of issues. And when God carried me over here, I was a son. Coming across the bridge takes us to be people that were over here struggling, and now I am an adopted son of the King. Amen? John 1:12, yet all who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. End of story. Happy Easter. As we move this morning to our baptisms, I just want to say this. I was kind of thinking about what Easter should do in the hearts of all of us, specifically non-believers. You should jump into the arms of the Lord Jesus. Sleepy believers, we should repent and remember that we were bought with a price. Come on, if you've been sleeping and living about you in your own Christianity world, it's okay. It's just time to stop. God is looking for soldiers and warriors who are sold out to him because they realize that he paid for their life with a price. It's just time. Those who are living faithfully, you need to be encouraged that everything you're laying down and sacrificing is worth it because of the cross. Amen? We should all make sure that we are living with the focus, keeping the main thing the main thing. I always see dear friends, and they hold on to a topic. And I've noticed this on Facebook a lot lately. They get into they really feel like abortion. They're really passionate about abortion. Good. They should be passionate about abortion, right? We believe that it's murdering babies. But it's all they talk about. It's all they hammer about. It's on every website they go into, every blog they go into. They argue with people, or this kind of living, or this kind of thing. Or there's just so many battles that people get into, which are good battles. But the problem is that believers get duped by the enemy, by their passions, because they follow after the passion and not his passion. Amen. Is God for abortion? No. It's horrible. Babies die every year. But how on earth will we ever change it if people don't receive the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and change from the inside out? And so you want to be an abolitionist for abortion? Good. Love the snot out of people. Hear what I'm saying? Any Christian issue of today, we have to remember that if it's not through the gospel of Jesus Christ first, and then you look beyond that, you're going to miss it. It's in Jesus' name. We got to be careful. In Revelation, Jesus talked about people doing things in his name, but forsaking his first love. That's it. Be careful. Amen? And last but not least, this is our victory day. That sad story is the best story. Think about people on the train. Did you notice in the end that he sees the same girl that had heroin that was going into her arms? That girl he sees at the end, I always have to explain this because it's always not clear. The girl he sees at the end was the girl that was on the train getting high. And she is clean, and she has that baby, and that's why he just falls back and he raises his hands to heaven and gives praise. That's you. It costs something. Don't take it for granted, but have joy. Amen? Everybody give God a shout of victory praise today. This morning we have four beautiful people being baptized in the Lord. Amen? They're Callie Gilmore, Jane Hensley, Lacey Willinger, and Trent the Man Linder. Focus your attention that way. While you're walking over here, can anybody tell me why that we are interested in baptism? Obedience. Jesus told us to obey. You are symbolizing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through baptism. Amen. For those of you who are jealous, this is the horse trough of Duncan. How many of you in this room have been baptized in this thing? Amen. Amen. This morning, our first beautiful lady, somebody grab me the wireless mic over there, please. This first beautiful lady getting baptized this morning is our girl, Callie. Go ahead and hop up in there. Be right over there by the drums. Kelly, girl, can you tell us just in a few words of why you're coming this morning to be baptized? She wants to go to heaven. Amen. Is that good enough? Is that good enough? That Jesus died on the cross for her sins. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amber, take it away, girly.
Kelly, do you announce to all of these people today that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your one Savior? All right.
Amen. Amen. The next up we have Sister Jane. Jane, I'm going to ask you the same question. Can you tell us a little bit, just in a couple words, why you're coming to be baptized this morning?
To acknowledge my devotion and submission to God.
Amen. Amen. Give a holler. Hey, will you put out one of those on the floor? We haven't lost somebody being baptized in 2 years, so let's keep it that way.
divine commission to God and resurrected with him.
That's beautiful.
Man, we can't do nothing professionally smooth around here, I tell you. Amen. She's dipped. All right, next is our dear sister, Lacey.
You can have mom baptize you? She doesn't know.
Hey, mom, you're baptizing her, and she didn't tell you. I'm going to stay out of that. Yeah, I'm going to stop crying first. Hold on. Lacey, give us a little spiel about why you're here today.
I've always considered myself a Christian and was raised in a home where we went to church 3 times a week, but I never really took my faith seriously. I just always thought that being baptized was a publicly showing off and that it was unnecessary. I've always known God, but never had a true relationship with him. This last year, through my restoration, I've realized how loving he is and how much he cares for me. I've realized my life, I've fully committed my life to be a follower, not just a fan of Christ. My choosing to be baptized today is a public statement to show that I believe and that I have chosen Christ to live at the center of my life. I want to follow in his footsteps and fully commit to do so for the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Jesus, as I pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your ways. Thank you, Jesus, every day.
Amen. Amen. So, Mom, can I ask you a question?
So, not to be a preacher and capitalize on this moment, but how long has this been you praying for your daughter, and what is the stay?
I didn't catch the last part of it, but I have prayed with my whole heart for so long for this.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Can't buy that. Jeez. Amen. Next and last but not least is our brother. He gave a strong testimony last Sunday. It just blew my doors off. And I know most of you. Trent Linder. And by the way, he's in testimony mode now, so he even has one prepared for today. So I see a future restored minister coming up in this mess.
First, I want to say that I'm so blessed and grateful to be able to be baptized today on Easter Sunday. Some of you heard my longer testimony last week, and those of you who didn't, here's a shortened version of it. I grew up going to church every Sunday, not because I was seeking God, but because of my family, there wasn't a choice. And after I graduated high school, I led a sinful and spiritually dead life. During that time, I used to make fun of and mock the church and any followers. And then last September, my life changed forever. After 17 years of marriage, I was served with divorce papers. During that time of the divorce, I went into a deep depression, reliving all my mistakes. But God was looking out for me and sent his people from his kingdom to lead me to Christ. Last October, after 25 years of not being in a church seeking God, I found myself here at the Restored Church. And over the next several months, the restored body of Christ helped me, guide me, teach me, and accepted me. I personally want to thank all of you who listened to me, talked to me, advised me, and most of all, prayed for me. And then, on January, after all those years of being spiritually dead, I asked God to forgive me of all my sins and let me into his life. Now I am a soldier for his kingdom and must learn the scripture and obey it. I seek him in all decisions I make now, and I've given him my life. And part of that obedience is publicly displaying my devotion to God by baptism. And to end, I'm a new believer, and I don't know what God truly has in store for me, but I still must obey and trust him with everything in my life, so God can show me his plans and when the time is right.
Amen.
It's Jared. He doesn't like it.
He might be the tallest man we've ever baptized in there, so this should be interesting. We're praying about upgrading the baptistry for constant use. So you might want to scoot up. Sit up. Can you sit on your rear or no? I heard something crack. That's not good. Just stay right there. You're good. Okay.
All right, Trent, you just acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Lord of your life?
Yes, I do.
Well, because of your confession of faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Give the Lord a shout this morning. Just to close this morning, just on what we talked about and the witness of this, we're not a church that usually offers an invitation at the end of the service, but we offer an invitation at the end of the service in this way, is that if this is God pulling on your heart this morning, is that if you know you need to see Easter in a different way, you know you need the living God, then come and talk to us, and we will walk with you every step of the way between you becoming a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we want to talk to you. You want to become baptized? Let's come and talk about it. We are here for you, and God bless you. Let's pray, and then we will go and enjoy the rest of our whatever festivities you have in your heart for today. Amen? So grab somebody's hand next to you. Even if they look awkward when you touch them, just grab their hand. And be careful on the wet floor. Insurance is spotty in small churches. Thank you for the empty tomb. God, thank you for grace. God, thank you how you use broken men and women to proclaim your gospel. God, thank you that you use buildings full of people that are actually your church to take down the enemy of darkness in this world. Every one of these baptisms today, every single one of them, and everybody that's ever been baptized in this church or will be, has an amazing story of restoration. God, they blow my doors off when they testify. You are the King of all things. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love that we get to hang out with our families today. We love that we get to eat together and break bread and find eggs, whatever we're doing. But, Lord, we without question testify that none of that is even a shred of comparison to the grace and new life that was brought in the resurrected Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus. So God, continue to do a good work in us and in this city. And Lord, we just praise you for today. God, we are yours forever. In eternity, we cannot wait to see your face. God, protect these believers that just came and got baptized today as the enemy would come and would love for them to be chewed on and run away. But Lord, we pray seriously against the dip and dash anymore, and that people would be transformed and stay as soldiers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Church said, Amen. Happy Easter!